This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Friday, May 26th. Well, today's an important day in the grain space because we're headed into the Memorial Day weekend. We got a long weekend, and we are looking at some wicked hot and dry conditions coming into the Midwest that is going to stick around for a while. And I think that's part of what's propping up the grain space, at least stabilizing it. We had wheat and soybeans pretty much unchanged yesterday, chopping around. Corn was a bit higher, led by old crop on continued strong basis across much of the Midwest and into the Central Plains. So that has been kind of the stalwart of the corn space, has been old crop. When we look at new crop, of course, we're getting the crop in early, and we got a big Brazilian crop about to be harvested, and that's going to hit the world pipeline in about a month. So we're kind of bracing for that. But in the meantime, we're kicking off the growing season in the Midwest for the row crops primarily, and of course across the northern plains for spring crops. We're also kicking off the harvest season in wheat, and you know, officially, it's already been ongoing for a while in the far south, but in a kind of a cruel twist of the knife from Mother Nature, the very dry areas that just decimated the hard red winter wheat crop now is getting deluged with rain, and it's going to be a problem getting harvesting going with this kind of forecast over the next 2 weeks. We've got a consistent amount of rain coming into the western, southern, and central plains. And it kind of stretches up a little bit up into the central plains, but I think that, you know, it's right over winter wheat harvest area. And I think that's going to be a problem, not only slow down the harvest, but likely do some damage, some quality damage to the wheat that's still there. It also is going to recharge a lot of soil moisture. And I think, you know, producers will turn to that second crop, and it's at least going to get off to a good start. So that's what's going on in the plains. And again, right over those driest areas is where they're getting the most rain. As we expand out from that region, going up into the northern plains and then over into the Midwest, it gets hot. We're going to be in the upper 80s into the 90s across the northern plains and up into the Canadian prairies. And it really stretches from Texas all the way up to the northern plains, Canadian prairies, is the heat. And then as we move forward in time over the next couple weeks, that heat expands. It still sticks around the northern plains for the most part, but then it pushes east as well into the Midwest. That's the two-week outlook from both the GFS model and the European model. The European model is a little more intense on the heat, and both models have no rain at all in the Midwest. There's this huge block of no rain, whether it's Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, Minnesota, you know, and key corn and bean country is hot with no rain. So the market, of course, is looking at that. Everybody's looking at it. You know, it's stabilized the market because we've been on quite a downslide. But, you know, the market's just not going to react to that before the holiday, or at least not very much. I think the night session is kind of starting to perk up a little bit. We've got wheat up about 15, beans up 15, corn up a dime, and the deferreds, the front month not leading this time, we're only up about 4. So market's paying attention to this. You know, the forecasts have actually been pretty consistent, which is unusual in itself, especially the GFS model. But they've been consistent over the last week, calling for this kind of weather over the next 2 weeks. Once we get behind the Memorial Day break, in Monday night trading starts, and if you're still looking at these weather models showing that kind of weather for another 2 weeks, or whatever, or even the same 2 week stretch into, you know, that first full week of June, I think the market has no choice but to react. You're going to start stressing the crop just as it's getting going, and you know, the earlier you put weather stress on it, you know, the worse off you are, obviously. So I think that, you know, the market's going to start to start to contemplate that we could be headed into a weather market here. You know, there's been so much talk about La Nina's gone, El Nino starting up, and most of the time El Nino brings great rain to the Midwest and there's no problem. We got the crop in early. We just had the stage set for massive production. And frankly, at this point, you kind of still do. But the El Nino part of this, the more I'm reading, they're pretty much pointing toward late summer, early fall. Well, it's for it to be official, you know, and it's just starting to be, you know, to kind of confirm that we're headed that way. So, you know, that's a little late for that kind of weather development to happen. So, you know, we'll see. The other thing is ocean temperatures are record highs. There's been heat everywhere. You know, that's a big part of this. Even if you had a lot of rain, when you get that kind of intense heat, the plant just can't keep up. And I think that's kind of where we're headed. It sure appears that way. The northern plains have had very nice rains across most of the plains. North Dakota's sitting on pretty decent moisture. But again, you've got this heat coming. That's going to dry that down quickly. Of course, Canadian prairies have been struggling with drought. They're going to catch this heat as well. So, you know, it's it's a very difficult forecast. And again, I think the reason that the market really hasn't reacted more is that it's still early and we're headed into a three-day break. You don't want to put on a lot of risk when you have 3 days where you're just not going to be able to trade it. Yeah, you still have the financial market issues with the debt ceiling negotiations. You know, who knows what's going to go on there. Eventually, we got to figure something out. But that's not helping the markets either. So it's going to be pins and needles for the next 6 weeks, probably. And we're not starting out in a great situation for, you know, the spring crops across much of the country. And now we're trying to get what's left of the winter wheat crop harvested. And Mother Nature's not offering much help there either. So taking a look at some other issues, we've got United States has been importing wheat from the EU, mostly Poland and Germany. Poland's not a big exporter. Germany is an exporter of higher quality wheat, and it appears that this is what that is. Poland, it could be Polish wheat, but it could also be Ukraine wheat. Ukraine's been moving a lot of wheat through the Eastern European countries to the export channels. Normally, it would retain the Ukraine title, but some of this wheat has been dumped into these countries, which has been a big sticking point and created them to, you know, push back on that. But either way, we're importing wheat from Germany and Poland. I think obviously that's part of the pressure that we're seeing in the wheat space. But the bottom line is we're just had, you know, a horrible growing season for hard red winter wheat in the heart of hard red country. The northern plains, I think, will be okay. You know, the heat might shave off some of the yield there, but so far, winter wheat across the north has been all right for the most part. It's probably not going to be a bin buster, but we're still going to come in with a short hard red winter wheat crop. Spring wheat is certainly vulnerable as we get the growing season started. Soft red will be fine. We'll have plenty of that. So it's really a mixed bag in the wheat space. For Ukraine, the European Union has agreed to suspend the restrictions of Ukraine grain for another year. That's clearly been a huge boost to Ukraine, helping them get grain exported. They have agreed that they're not going to dump it in those countries. They can move it through. But if the European Union wanted to import wheat from Ukraine directly, they could do that without any tariffs. Ukraine reporting that their spring plantings are at 97% complete. So far, they've got 5.3 million hectares completed out of a total what they expect to be 5.5 million hectares planted, down just a bit from last year's 5.9 million. So far for corn plantings, they're at 3.7 million hectares. Last year they had 4.1 million, and 2 years ago they had 5.1 million. So that's pretty much in line with what we expected. They're moving away from corn and wheat because those are crops that need to be exported. Plus, corn's very expensive to grow. And they're moving toward more domestic consumption products like oil seeds. And mainly that would be sunflowers. In other news, the Buenos Aires Grain Exchange out of Argentina is projecting that next year's wheat crop, the 23-24 crop, which they're just now seeding, will be around 18 million tons. That compares to this year's drought-plagued crop of 12.4 million tons. So if El Nino does indeed develop, usually that means more rainfall for Argentina and less for Australia. And we're already seeing that pattern kind of develop, which I think is one of the reasons why the trade just assumed that it would be that way for the United States as well, that those patterns are already developing in the Southern Hemisphere, so why not have that same effect in the North? But it just appears, at least for now, that that is not turning out to be the case. And real quickly, export sales yesterday, almost not worth mentioning, but we should. For wheat export sales, 200,000 tons net. There was a net negative for old crop, but that's just, you know, canceling off and moving it over to new crop. As our marketing year ends this, or, you know, May 31, so it's, you know, we're not seeing a lot of old crop sales, although China bought 68,000 tons of old crop. That was kind of interesting, but nevertheless, 200,000 net for wheat. Corn, they managed to be on the positive side, 23,000. After some serious cancellations, China, another 332,000 canceled. They're just kind of putting the hammer to the corn space. And in soybeans, a net 116,000, falling within the range of estimates, but certainly these numbers are just paltry to say the least. And the U.S. dollar has rallied a little bit over the last few weeks. That's not helping. But in general, with wheat, we're seeing quite a bit of carryover from the European Union and the Black Sea, especially Russia. And they've been trying to dump wheat on the market, preparing for another big crop coming on that they'll be harvesting in July. So I would expect to see still aggressive exports from both of those regions. Russia, of course, complaining because world prices are below 270. Well, they're the ones driving the market, and we're sitting around 245. So it's been tough to rally, you know, wheat, especially Chicago wheat, which kind of reflects world prices. When we got a big soft red wheat harvest coming on ourselves, and a lot of pressure coming from the outside world. So it's really been Kansas City, Minneapolis leading the way, and will continue to be that way, I think. At least in the short term, if you're going to get things rolling, you're just going to see more problems with hard red country, it looks like, as we work our way through harvest. Now, if the Midwest finds itself in a weather market, I think Chicago will take over leadership of the wheat space. It'll follow corn higher, and that's where your big traders are going to go. That's where your liquidity is. That's where the volume is Chicago. Even fundamentally, it may not be the logical choice. It's going to be where the big traders go. So if we get into a weather situation, corn and beans will shoot higher, and Chicago wheat will shoot higher and kind of overtake what's going on in Kansas City and Minneapolis. So strap yourself in. I think it's going to be a volatile ride as we work our way through this summer growing season. And Memorial Day, I think, is probably going to kick off that volatility. We've got an interesting chart formation developing in corn, where because of the May expiration, we had July coming on at deferred at discounted prices to the May. So we had a gap lower on the weekly chart for corn. And now this week, we're recovering. So we sold off last week, and now we're recovering this week. If you gap higher next week in corn, now you've got an island bottom of a two-week space in the corn weekly chart. That would be a pretty bullish formation as well if you hold it. So anyway, you pretty much heard the story of what I think is going on from a weather perspective and price action perspective. It's just a matter of working our way through the growing season, and especially just getting into Monday's trade, well, which will be Monday night into Tuesday, to see what kind of weather forecast we're still seeing, and then we're off to the races as far as getting into this growing season and what and the volatility that I expect to see, especially in corn and beans, and that will spill over to wheat as well. If you have any questions, feel free to call 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.